The study over the last couple of weeks has been on the marks of true worship, the marks of true worship. And tonight's subtitle is, It Bows Before the Lamb. Let's talk about worship for a couple of minutes. Worship. What is worship? Just think in your mind for a second here. Worship. Worship is ascribing worth to. You know, whatever a person, think about this, whatever a person invests their time, resources, and energies into, he or she is worshiping that thing. Say it again. Whatever thing a person is investing their time, resources, and energies into, they are worshiping. Now, in the world, those who are not followers of Christ worship. But they do not worship the Lamb. They worship things. They worship their careers. They worship their jobs. They worship their houses. They worship their bank accounts and money. They worship all kinds of things, boats and material things. That's what they're investing their time and their resources and their energies into. But we, as followers of Jesus Christ, need to be worshiping only one. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be worshiping God and the Lamb who sits on the throne. We're to be investing our time, energies, and resources into building relationship with Jesus Christ and into advancing the kingdom of God, building the body of Christ. We as believers in Christ, let me say it again, need to be investing our time, resources, and energies into building our relationship with Christ, right? And advancing the kingdom of God. Now, God says that he won't have any other gods before him, right? In the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verses 3 through 4, he says this. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. What is God saying? God is saying that nothing will take, I'll take second place to nothing in your life. If we claim to be followers of Christ, God says he will take second place to none. Amen? Got a little quote here by a man named William Law, if you just want to listen here for just a second. William Law was an Anglican priest who lived in England from 1686 to 1761. He loved to lead Christians into a closer relationship with God. In his book, A Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life, he wrote, devotion signifies a life given or devoted to God. The devout, therefore, are people who do not live their own will or in the way of the spirit of the world, but only to the will of God. Such people consider God in everything, serve God in everything, and make every aspect of their lives holy by doing everything in the name of God and in a way that conforms to God's glory. Isn't that good? The truly devoted to God make God the center of everything in their lives. Amen?
Amen.
The passage tonight comes from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. Revelation 7, 9 through 17, if you have a Bible. If not, I'll read it to you. This is John seeing this vision. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. What is he talking about in this passage? He's talking about what? In this vision. Worshipping God, worshipping the Lamb, the perfect Lamb, the spotless Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the earth. It says, There was a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, and they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they were bowing and crying out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Let me ask you this. What will we be doing for eternity one day in heaven? When we make it to heaven one day, what will we be doing for eternity? As this passage states,
giving glory to God,
bowing before and worshiping the Lamb, Jesus Christ, God the Son, the only begotten Son of God. Amen? And if we're going to be doing that in heaven one day for eternity, we need to start that right here on this earth. Amen? Jesus in the Lord's Prayer said what? He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If in heaven one day we're going to be worshiping the Lamb and bowing before Him, that means on earth today we need to start doing that as believers in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let me tell you this, if Jesus is your Savior, in your life there will always be the battle of the bended knee. If Jesus is your Savior, if you claim that Jesus is your Savior, in your life there will always be the battle of the bended knee. You might be wondering tonight, the bended knee, what do you mean by that, Jonathan? Let me ask you this, who will you bend your knees to? Sin and the world's ways, or to the Lamb, Jesus Christ? In other words, who will you bend your knee to? Who will you bow to? Sin and the world, or to Jesus Christ, the perfect and spotless Lamb of God? See, the mark of a true worshiper is one who has made Jesus not only Savior, now listen to this, but also Lord. Should I say it again? The mark of a true worshiper is one who has made Jesus not only Savior, but also, say it with me, Lord. And when I say the word Lord, what comes to your mind? What does Lord mean to you?
Master.
He said it, Master, that's right, ruler, king. So the question tonight is this, who is the master in your life? Who is the king in your life? Who is the ruler in your life? Is it you? Is it something else? Is it somebody else? Or is it Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Who is the ruler, the master, the Lord of your life? Who is in the driver's seat of your life? You know, your life is like an automobile. Who's sitting in the driver's seat right now? Who has the steering wheel of your life? Is it you or is it Jesus? If it's you, guess who wants to be there? Jesus, the King of Kings. So if Jesus is not in the driver's seat of your life tonight, you need to slide over to the passenger side and put Jesus in the driver's side. Let Him take control of the steering wheel of your life. You know, there's people out there that call themselves Christians. You know, they're nominal Christians by name only. They call themselves a Christian. And that might be you. It might have been you in the past. They say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Christ. Jesus is my Savior. But they're in charge of their own lives. And they're saying, pretty much, God, you can have my relationships, but you can't have my money. Or you can have my money, but not my relationships. You know, this is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with it. Friends, guess what? A person who thinks that way has not made Jesus Lord and ruler and King. Because they're still in charge of their own life. There's people out there that think that way. This is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with it. What is that? That's an attitude of the heart. What is that? That's the sin of what? That's the sin of pride. And what does the Word of God say? That God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You know, as believers in Christ, we need to be saying, you know, God, this was once my life. I once had control of my life. But Jesus, you now take control and charge of every single area of my life. Is that making sense tonight? Well, let me ask you this. If the richest man in the world was coming to John 3:16 tonight, and it was announced that he would be giving a $100 bill to everybody who attended, and he told you to stand, would you stand at his attention? If he said jump, you might ask him, well, how high? Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that one greater than the richest man in the world is with us tonight, and his name is Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. Amen? And we need to be standing at his attention. We need to be making him Lord, ruler, and king over every part of our existence. As followers of Christ, as true followers of Christ, our lives are no longer our own. They belong to God. They belong to Jesus. And if you resist the control of Jesus over your life, you're resisting Jesus. You're resisting relationship with him. Now, making Jesus Lord over your life is doing what? It's the same thing as what? Making Jesus Christ Lord over every part of your life is the same thing as what? It's the same thing as becoming holy as God is holy. Amen? What does it mean when I say that God is holy? What does it mean to you that God is holy? What does the word holy mean? It means what?
Without sin.
Exactly. God is completely separate from sin. Sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God for a millisecond, just like darkness cannot stand in the presence of light. If this room were pitch dark, 12 o'clock midnight, right? Pitch dark, you can't see anything. But you turn that switch on in the back. Immediately, the darkness is dispelled. Amen? Remember that. To say that God is holy means that sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God for even a millisecond in time, just like darkness cannot stand in the presence of light. They can't coexist. God is holy. He's separate from sin. He can't exist around sin, and sin cannot exist around a holy and awesome God. Amen? And we're to be holy, the word says, as God is holy. That means that we're to be separate from sin and set apart to God. Is that making sense tonight? Now, friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that it takes effort to be holy as God is holy. It takes effort to make Jesus Christ Lord over every part of your life. It doesn't just happen instantly. It's not like you're just sitting there and God drops holiness into your lap. It takes effort and work on our parts. Now, Hebrews chapter 12. If you got a Bible, if not, I'll read it to you. Hebrews 12, verse 14. I love the scripture. Some people in the world think this. There's some Christian circles that teach a false theology that says this, that says, you can live however you want, and God's grace will cover it. I'm sorry, that's wrong, that's incorrect. That is heresy. You can walk into any type of sin you want and commit it and continue in it, and God's grace will cover it. That is false teaching. It's incorrect. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It says this, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. He's saying make every effort, strive to be holy. Work to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Friends, I'm here to tell you today that when Jesus returns, if we're not living holy lives, lives separate from sin and set apart unto God, guess what? We will not see the Lord in heaven one day. I want to see God. I want to see Jesus face to face in heaven one day. How about you? That means we have got to strive, we have got to work, we have got to make an effort to be holy as God is holy. Amen? Is that making sense? Away with the theology that you can live however you want and God's grace will cover it. Nope, I'm sorry. If you're found in that condition when Jesus returns, you won't be going to heaven. You'll be going to hell. Sorry if it's a hellfire and brimstone message, but you know what? It's the truth and it's the word of God. Amen? Now, this little animal, and some of you may have heard this before because I kind of preached a similar teaching just recently. An ermine. In the forests of northern Europe and Asia lives a little animal called the ermine. He is best known for his snow-white fur. Instinctively, the small creature takes a peculiar pride in his glossy coat. He protects it at all costs against anything that would soil it, for hunters take cruel advantage of the ermine in this respect. They do not set a snare to catch him, but instead they find his home, which is usually a cleft in a rock or a hollow in an old tree, and they daub the entrance and interior with filth. Then their dogs start the chase. Frightened, the ermine flees towards his home. He finds it covered within and without with uncleanness. And so rather than soil his white fur, he faces the yelping dogs and meets his death while preserving his purity. To the ermine, purity is dearer than life. This ermine, this little animal, will fight to the death to keep his fur pure white. I don't want to be outdone by any small animal. How about you? If he can fight to keep his fur clean, we can fight to be holy as God is holy. Amen? Amen. To work and to make an effort to strive to be like a holy God. Now, holiness is not instant. It doesn't happen overnight. So don't fret. Don't get too hard on yourself. Holiness, making Jesus Lord, doesn't happen instantly. When you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you were not instantly renewed in every part of your life. Being holy as God is holy, making Jesus Lord over every part of your life, takes a process of time. Amen? And there's certain areas of our lives in which we can be holy as God is holy. There's certain areas of our lives that we make Jesus Lord. Actually, every area of our lives, we make Jesus Lord. For instance, number one, with your body. Your body. Your body is God's temple if you're a follower of Christ. You can either bow to sin and the world with your body, or you can bow it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What does the world say to do with your body? It says sleep with anybody you want to sleep with. You don't have to get married. Just sleep with anybody you want to. It says burn your lungs away with those cigarettes. Keep drinking and drinking and drinking and mess up your liver. That's what the world says. But if you're bowing to the Lordship of Jesus Christ with your body, you're going to sleep with the person only who is your spouse. You're going to try to get away from the cigarette addiction and the alcoholic addiction, right? And the drugs. Amen? Amen. So with our bodies, we can bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We can bow either to sin or to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our minds. How does the world tell us to think? The world tells us to think vindictively. If somebody offends you and insults you, get retaliation. Get even. It's about me, myself, and I, but not God. If we're striving to be holy as God is holy, if we're making Jesus Christ Lord over our minds, we're going to leave it in the hands of God, because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Making sense? Leave it in the hands of God. Be forgiving. Let the person go. Let the offense go in Jesus' name. That's bowing to the Lordship of Jesus in your mind. You can either bow to sin in the world with your human spirit, or you can bow it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. How many here like to know what their future holds? Anybody? What next step to take with your life? You know, a lot of people in the world, they'll go to palm readers, astrologers, fortune tellers, to find out what their life holds. And I've heard even of a Christian one time who believed that you could go to your horoscope and God could speak to you through your horoscope. That is false. That is demonic. I don't think so. If you're going to fortune tellers, palm readers, astrologers, guess what? You're opening up your human spirit to the demonic to wreak havoc in your life. The only one you're to turn to find out about what your life holds in the future is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And God can communicate to your spirit by the Holy Spirit. That's the only one you're to bow to. Amen? That's bowing to the Lordship of Jesus Christ with your spirit by talking to God and saying, God, talk to me by your Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You can either bow to the world and to sin concerning your words, or you can bow your words to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. How does the world say to speak? How does sin say to speak? It says to speak with four-letter words, right? And there's some people out there, even Christians, sad to say, that think that God's last name has four letters. I don't think so. God's last name does not have four letters. As believers in Jesus Christ, if we're bowing to the Lordship of Jesus with our words, take the four letters away from God. Amen? We ought to be calling Him an awesome God and nothing else. A holy God and nothing else. A loving God, a gracious God. And not adding four letters to His name. Amen? See, the world speaks with sewer language, four-letter words. And maybe you've spoken that way. Maybe you speak that way right now. And maybe God is helping you clean up your language. But if we're truly bowing to the Lordship of Jesus Christ with our mouths, we should be speaking words that only God would speak, that Jesus would speak right from the written word. Loving words, kind words, pure words, encouraging words, words that build others up. Ephesians 4:29. And you know what? In ourselves, in our own human selves, we'll get weak at times. Our flesh gets weak. God, I can't do this on my own. God, it's so hard to make your son Lord of my life. But when you get weak, God will be evidenced strong through us. In our weakness, God shows himself strong. So when you get weak, just cry out to God and say, God, I can't live this holy life. God, it's hard for me to make your son Jesus Lord. And when you get weak, God will say, you know what? I'm going to give you my divine empowerment and enablement to live a holy, sanctified, and pure life. Amen? Amen. Just cry out to God when you get weak. And some of the ways to live a holy life and to become renewed in your mind and with your words and with what you do with your body is by getting into the Word of God, reading the Word of God on a consistent basis. Praying to God, building friendships with strong Christians. Amen? Amen? Finally, what does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7? And I talked about this just a moment ago. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Those who are preaching that God's grace will cover any sin, just enter into any sin however you want. Live however you want and God's grace will cover it. Those are people preaching the wide road. And it leads to eternal destruction. And Jesus says, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and only a few find it. I want to find that road. How about you? The narrow road that Jesus is talking about is the road of holiness, is the road of making Jesus Christ Lord, ruler, King over every part of your life. Amen? Amen. Say it with me tonight. God, I want to be holy, just as you are holy. I want to make your son Lord over every part of my life. Jesus, give me the strength. Amen. Amen.